Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for gathering your children today. And Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. And so, Lord, we want to meet you. We want to be shepherded by you. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill this place and to soften hearts. Pray for eyes to open during the preaching of your word and ears to listen. And hearts to understand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn with me to James chapter 2. And before we read, just want to ask some questions. Anybody know the five solas? In English? Can you give it in English?
Oh, only know one. What is it?
Scripture alone, yes. Scripture alone, yes. Faith alone, yes. Anyone help? Yeah, so faith alone, in Christ alone, in Scripture alone. By grace alone, to the glory of God alone. Anybody have a problem with that five statements? Any problem grammatically with what I just said? By grace alone.
Yes. Because if you say alone, there should be only one.
There it is. If something is alone, there's only one of it. And so how can you have five alones? You can only have one alone. And what is that one alone? Jesus alone. That's just one example to smart theologians have come up with something that sounds great, but when you just think about it carefully, it just doesn't make sense. They're taking one part of Scripture, they don't take the whole counsel of God, and they walk away with something grammatically incorrect. What about, are we justified by faith? Is that a true statement? You're justified by faith? Who says yes, you're justified by faith? No one's raising your hand because you know there's a trick there. I think Mrs. Kwok is raising her hand. No, just kidding. Let me read James chapter 2 and we will answer that question together. James 2 verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as a body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So can we answer the question, are you saved by faith Or are you saved? Or are you actually not saved? Are you justified by faith? Or are you justified by works? According to James chapter 2. What's the answer?
It's not an either or.
Okay.
They go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand. Yes, yes. And verse 23 would suggest that scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness and he was called a friend of God. And so he believed, he had faith. And from that point on, you could say he was on the path of salvation. But not until he sacrificed Isaac. That was his works. Not until that happened. Could we confidently say that Abraham was finally saved? He was justified, yes, through his faith, his confession of belief in the promise of God that a son would come out of his line. But when he surrenders and he sacrifices Isaac, that work, he was justified by that work. And both are needed, faith and works. And I think that already should shake you up, that that's not what you heard theologically. That you heard only one side of it. That faith is all you need. Actually, if you look at this text, who has faith? Only. The demons. The demons are theologically more accurate than any of us. But they don't surrender to Jesus. They shudder at the thought that Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will one day have victory over them. So the five solas, we already know, is grammatically incorrect. The statement that you're justified by faith alone is in contradiction to what it says in God's Word, that you're justified two times here, faith alongside of works. And two examples are given. Rahab is one example. That in Joshua chapter 2, spies are sent to look at how they can conquer the land. And Rahab, as a woman of faith, she heard the stories of the great Exodus and the parting of the sea and the power of God, and she was already a believer. She already had faith, but how did she demonstrate her faith? It was through her works of hiding the spies, and that was not a simple work of just attending the synagogue and reading her Bible. It wasn't that kind of a work. It was a work that risked her life and the life of her family. Because if she was caught in this lie of hiding the spies, she would have been killed. It's that kind of a work. And Abraham also had his work, and we're going to look at that in detail in a moment. And it's not an easy work. These are not easy works to kill your son with full confidence that God, Hebrews 11, will raise the son from the dead. It is not an easy work to hide the spies and risk the lives of your family members because the soldiers show up and they ask for the spies. This is not like attending a Bible study. This kind of a work, it could cost you your life. And this kind of a work, it reflects the sincerity of the faith that we profess with our lips. We already know here, throughout, in various places, it says faith, apart from works, is useless, is dead. You need both. To be saved, yes, we start with nothing. With zero works, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. We do nothing to save ourselves. It is not an act of our will. 100% salvation begins with God. All we have to do is believe. And you're already on the path of salvation. But if that's all you have, and many people, because of theologians, they think that's all that they need. I believe. I have all the doctrine, the five solas, which doesn't make sense. I believe it all. You're justified by faith alone. Yes, I believe that. Of course they believe it and they live it. They live out just a doctrinal understanding. There are no works. There's no. They've not counted the cost of following Jesus. Jesus alone, the one sola, one alone, Jesus alone. But we know that the full gospel that will save you finally, not just initial salvation, but final salvation, the full gospel of Jesus is faith plus your works. It begins with faith alone. You're justified by faith alone in the beginning, but over the course of your lifetime, God will ask you. He will test your faith, and He will say, prove it through your works, that you are indeed on the path of salvation. In verse 18, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I hope that you can say that as confidently as James did. That other people say, yeah, it's just faith only, or others say, it's just works only. I hope you can say confidently that I believe, I have faith. Here are my works to prove it. That I will show you my faith by my works. Such a confident statement. And then in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Not just faith along with works, or faith by my works. Now he says faith active. You see it through works. A faith that is visible through works. That is active. And he also says completed. It's perfected by the works. And may we have many testimonies over the course of our lifetime that we have completed our faith through many, many, many works. Not to save us, that was faith alone, but to prove that we are indeed a follower of Jesus on the path of salvation, that we will show our faith that is active with our works, that is completed by our works. And then he says it again. You see that in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And so he says, a faith apart from works is dead. I will show you my faith by my works. And then he says, a faith that is active along with his works. And he says, a faith that is completed by his works, that he is justified by his works, by his works, by his works. And again, these are not easy works. Like attending church, leading a Bible study, planting a church, these are easy. Hiding spies and risking your life. Having a knife and ready to plunge it in the heart of your son. These are the works that prove that we are indeed a child of God. And so let's look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. And I think I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. There's only one sola, one alone. It is Jesus alone. And our faith and our works begins and it ends with Jesus alone. That is the Christian life. Our faith begins with Jesus. Our works end in Jesus. Beginning and ending of our Christian life is faith and works in Jesus alone. Chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, then he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And God made that promise, and he renewed the promise throughout Abraham's lifetime, that through him there will be a child, and through that child a nation will form, and you will be a blessing to all the nations. And because he went through the sacrifice of his son Isaac, God says, now I will make good on my promise. In some sense, you could say God waited for this moment to test Abraham. And when Abraham was tested and he showed through his works, then the promise was fulfilled through his works. Not through his faith only, it was through his works. And why do I say the whole Bible, all of Christian life, is one alone, Jesus alone? If there's any text that proves that statement, it's this text. If you look in chapter 21, verse 34, and Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. And if you look at chapter 23, verse 1, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And so many years have passed from the birth and the weaning of Isaac at age 2 to age 5. And the Bible does not waste any words. The fact that chapter 21 ends with a verse that says many days or many years have passed of sojourning. And then the very next chapter, Sarah is 127 years old, which makes Isaac 37. In chapter 23. So how old is Isaac in chapter 22? It's anywhere from 2 to 5 to 37. I would say he's much closer to 37, because chapter 21 says many days have passed. A long time has passed. That's why the verse is there. And it's unfortunate that we have a picture of Isaac as this little boy. And even in English translation, it says boy. But actually, the word can be boy, but it can also be a young man. And we would not say someone in his 30s is a young man. But if you live to be 140, 150, as they did in those days, 30 some years, you are a young man. I think, and there's no proof of this, but because God's word is so precise, I would bet my house that Isaac is 33 and a half years old. Exactly the life, the age of Jesus when he surrendered and sacrificed his life. Which brings a different flavor to this story. Yes, we see Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11, he believed that if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead because there's only one child. And God's promise would not be fulfilled if this child was killed. Think of the faith that Abraham had. His one and only child. You have to see the gospel is here all over the place. God the Father sacrificing his only son. His only son. Abraham, he's ready to do it. Because he believes that God can raise Isaac from the dead. And then Isaac, if he's a five-year-old boy, would we have confidence that he has a faith of his own? That's actually a horrific scene. A father taking a five-year-old who doesn't quite believe that God can raise him from the dead. But Abraham, the father, is tying him down against his will. Or even a 15-year-old. Actually, if he's 15-year-old, he can't even do it. Like if I were 133 and a half years old, well, let's say I'm 115 years old, because assuming Isaac is only 15, Timothy's 15, and let's say I'm 115, can I tie? Well, he's 16. let's say Isaac is 16. And I'm 116. Can I forcefully tie Timothy to the wood pile against his will when I'm that old? No. And think of if I was 133 and a half years old and Timothy is a 33 and a half years old. Can I force Timothy to lay down his life? No, Timothy would have to voluntarily lay down his life. See, this is the gospel story. This is not a father telling his young boy, trust me, once I kill you, God will raise you from the dead. I believe it. You don't quite believe it. Just trust me. At age 15, 16 already, if that boy is not willing, it's not going to happen. And when he's 33 and a half years, when he is a young man, a full-grown adult, Isaac would have to have the faith of his own to lay down his life. Isn't this a gospel story? God takes his one and only son, Abraham, is representative of God the Father. Isaac is representative of God the Son. And Isaac voluntarily at age 33 and a half, I believe, he's laying down his life because he too believes in God, that God will raise him from the dead. He's not trusting in his dad. He's not resting on his dad's belief. He himself believes that God will raise me from the dead. And why do I say everything, our faith and our work, begin and end with Jesus? Because Jesus is here in both cases, Abraham and in Isaac. The reason why Jesus laid down his life voluntarily is because he had the faith that Abraham had. He himself had the faith that God would raise him from the dead. This is the gospel story. And so, as Christians, our faith and our works begins and ends with Jesus. whenever you read the Bible, you don't want to, you want to have this lens in mind that it's Jesus alone. You don't want to be impressed with Abraham and the lesson of reading Genesis is Abraham. And then you read Exodus, and then you read all about the exploits and the adventures of Moses, and then the takeaway after reading Exodus is Moses. If that's the way you read the Bible, you're always looking at different men and women. And it's like, what is the takeaway when you read the Bible? Is it Moses? Is it Abraham? Is it Rahab? Is it Isaac? The takeaway when you read Scripture is Jesus alone. And in this story, you don't look at Abraham's faith that God can raise Isaac from the dead. You're not looking at Isaac's faith that I too believe God will raise me from the dead. You're seeing Jesus alone. And you put your faith in Him. And over the course of your lifetime, you will have many opportunities through works to demonstrate you believe in Jesus. And that's why I say, from beginning to end, it is faith and works in Jesus alone. That is the Christian life. And when Isaac asked Abraham, "Where's the lamb?" Abraham's answer was, "God will provide for Himself the lamb." And that was a prophetic word, but in some sense, Abraham was lying. There was no lamb. He didn't have the heart to say, "Isaac, you are the lamb." But it was prophetic. And when this story unfolds and God stops him and then he sees a male lamb sheep, a ram in the thicket, that the Lord actually did provide the lamb. And so you can look at the whole Bible as the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Lord will provide the lamb. The New Testament is the Lord has provided the Lamb. Another, you can just say everything here is Jesus. Everything screams Jesus. And so let's recommit our lives to Jesus. Let's put our faith in Jesus. Let's say, "I trust in Jesus." And let's expect that over the course of our lifetime, we will be tested. James chapter 1, you will be tested the way that Abraham was tested, the way that Rahab was tested, and you will be justified by your works as you pass test after test after test. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for every single person in this room and for all believers scattered in your universal church around the world, that you love us in exactly the same manner, to the same degree as you love Jesus. And you love us so much that you would surrender and sacrifice and crucify your Son, your only Son. And Jesus, because you love the church, the universal church that you're about to birth through your death and resurrection, because you loved all believers in your present day in the first century, and you love believers who would believe upon the word of Christians throughout the generations, because you loved us, you willingly, voluntarily laid your life on the altar, on the mountain of God, Calvary, you surrendered your life and you were crucified. Lord, when we think about Abraham surrendering Isaac and Isaac surrendering himself, we see the gospel. Jesus, you believed that God would raise you from the dead and you voluntarily lay down your life in faith. And that was your work. You never ask us, Father, and Jesus, you never ask us to do anything that you yourself don't do first. And so we see the faith of Jesus, we see the works of Jesus. It cost you your life. For Abraham, it almost cost the life of his son. In his heart, he already killed him. For Rahab, it almost cost the life of her own life and her family's life if they were caught hiding the spies. Father, our faith that is being tested, it may cost us a great deal. These works that you will demand of us are not easy. But Lord, it's further proof that we indeed believe upon the name of Jesus. And we put our faith in Jesus. And we trust in Jesus because our faith and our works begin and end with Jesus. Jesus, you showed your faith and your works. And now, Lord, over the course of our lifetime, may we also show faith that is justified through works. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.